Now we are so behind. My husband's criticizing me. My in-laws think I'm a failure and they're telling me so.
Hello and welcome back to this Rose the Show episode. Every other Monday, we invite a business owner, coach, or professional onto the podcast to get a free podcast audit and roast, where we deep dive into their current marketing, highlight areas that are holding them back from faster growth and monetization, provide them and you actionable steps you can start applying today to experience faster podcast growth. So sit back, grab your popcorn, and get ready as we roast this show. Hello and welcome back to Why Your Podcast Isn't Growing. My name is Anthony Wineri.
I'm Ty Gaucher.
And in today's episode, we have a Rose the Show podcast with
Katie Keene of Her Home and Heart.
Amazing. Okay, look, tell us a little bit about your podcast, who it's for, what it's all about, and what problem you're trying to solve.
My podcast is about 3 years old, and it's been working towards helping moms who have quite a load of overwhelm. They are special needs homeschooling moms. Figure out how to juggle everything that motherhood requires of them and still enjoy the journey of motherhood.
I love that. Talk about a niche show, but I like it. And I guess from your end, how many downloads are you getting on average each month at the moment?
I was getting about 2,000, and then I went to one episode a week for a while because of some personal need to just decrease my workload. And so they cut in half. And even with the Apple update, I actually did not lose my downloads, which was great.
Amazing. So what you're saying, you cut the workload in half and you still maintain the same.
So I'm getting about 1,000 a month now.
Perfect. Got it. Interesting. Right. Okay, nice. And I guess from your end, so you've cut down the downloads, you're currently getting around 1,000 downloads per month. And how long have you been at this 1,000 download mark for? Has it been relatively steady? Has it been like a massive incline? Or has it just been like, yeah, has it been slow? What's the growth been like?
I've had a very slow, steady incline. It's been a real learning journey. I didn't know what podcasts were when I launched once. My strategies have not been something that were well-formed or well-understood. And so it's been a slow climb. It's a small niche as well, which is challenging. And I have not had capacity to do the type of marketing that I read is necessary. I've mainly worked on guesting and some amount of SEO when it comes to titles and descriptions. So I have not been good about doing social posts, and I did at one point, and I got very burned out just doing what I can as I go. So my growth, I think, has matched that, and it's been slower.
For sure. I think looking over the show from the outside in, Katie, it looks, I think you have a great title, great subtitle, nice bright cover, a show description that looks suspiciously good.
Thank
but,
you.
And you mentioned on the niche, you said it's a tiny niche. I wanted to touch on that. I think that is potentially the most niche show I've ever seen. If I've understood correctly, because you're combining Christianity with homeschooling with special needs children for mothers. Is that kind of the four tiers of the niche, if you like?
Yes, that's correct. And I actually wanted to broaden that up, and I have not been sure how. I still want to reach the special needs community for sure. And when you type in special needs homeschooling, I do come up, but I want to broaden so that it's including just mothers in general who homeschool. And I have not yet figured out how to do that because I don't want to sacrifice the one audience, but what I have to offer, some of the things that are coming up really match all homeschooling moms, not just ones with special needs children.
Okay, interesting. And what's making you want to broaden things up?
I'll be releasing some curriculum and some different things that align well with learning in those early years between 4 to 8. And it's not only appropriate for children with special needs. It would also be appropriate for just your typical homeschool child, any kind of child that is adventurous and doesn't want to learn. So therefore, mom has to help them learn in ways they think they're just having fun.
Awesome. And I guess the idea would be to, of course, as you broaden the niche, totally be a bit more appealing to a larger demo. And normally we wouldn't say this because we're like, be specific, be super niche. But in your situation, we're actually 4 levels deep. And it's the one time where I'm thinking, huh.
We have to be dynamic on our approach, right? And I think you have to understand the rules and then break them. And I think that this might be the time to break the rules and actually take a step back. Because I suppose there'll be a lot of listeners. I'm going out on a limb here, but there could be a lot of listeners who don't resonate with the show as much as they could do, just because maybe one part of those four criteria doesn't apply, but maybe the other three do, and maybe even the other two. It sounds like you've already been thinking this.
Yes. And I have not known what to do. I've been actually wanting to fix this for about a year and a half, and I just have not been successful yet.
Okay. Well, walk us through it. What ways have you thought about solving this current problem of like, how do I broaden my niche in a natural way? What are some solutions you've come up with?
I just recently changed my introduction a bit. I did change my description a little bit, tried to make it a little more generic. And I've been mainly looking at removing the word special needs and neurodiverse or neurodivergent from the tagline. And then just making sure that on those episodes where that does apply, that I include that in the title, which I always have before. So I think my next step really is just to remove it from the tagline, but I'm not sure.
Those are pretty good steps. I guess that's the description you've mentioned, there's some of the show episode titles. What about the show name? Because right now, of course, you have Her Mom and Heart, Reducing Overwhelm for Christian Homeschool Moms of Special Needs and Neurodiverse Kids. So I guess what would your approach be in terms of the actual show name at the moment?
Yeah, I'm happy to stick with Her Home and Heart because it really does describe accurately what I'm trying to share. I want the moms to be able to create a home that they love being in, that their family wants to return to, but also be able to nurture her. She needs to be able to nurture herself in order to be the kind of mom who creates the sort of home that she really dreams of having. And yet she's too overwhelmed to have it. I have toyed around with a few different titles. In fact, too many. I can't even remember the ones I have toyed around with, not titles, taglines. And at the moment, I think really just cutting off the part that says of special needs and neurodivergent kids might be where I head first. I don't know.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it could be as simple as literally just cutting that part off and then you're left with reducing overwhelm for Christian homeschool moms. I think that works really well. And then I guess in terms of if you were to go through this rebrand, it's a mini rebrand, right? What are some next action steps from your end you feel like you would need to take? So far you've got the description you've changed, the tagline we're tweaking, the episode titles we're going to change. We're going to change the show name. Is there anything else in the terms of the front-facing podcast that you think you might have to change to match that new title?
Yeah, I think for me, I'm really struggling with title creation because my episodes will be relatively specific to one problem, but I have struggled with the SEO part, understanding how to get the proper SEO words in the title without trying to overload it and without the title becoming generic. I feel that many of my episode titles end up feeling too generic to me compared to what the content is that I've included into the show. And so I'm not really 100% sure on how to fix that yet because I want to be able to use SEO to help my show be found, but also have content that truly serves moms and them to know what that's going to be when they see the title.
Got it. And I guess from your end, so you're struggling when it comes to how do you properly add the right keywords and still keep the spirit of the actual episode. Do you have any specific examples and then maybe go from there?
No, I can't think of any. I think if you just look at my titles in general, I feel like most of them are very generic. The ones that perform better tend to be ones that are a bit more specific. And it seems it should be simple to just go replicate that, but I have not been able. I like to help moms with overwhelm because that's been my main nemesis. As a mom of five with two that have had their own various special needs, my main nemesis as a military wife moving from place to place, trying to juggle all these things oftentimes on my own is overwhelm. And so I can still find myself there. And I think that with title creation, that is a place that I still do struggle with overwhelm.
Okay. Could you expand a little bit on what you mean by that? Sorry, in terms of when you just said, with title creation, I still struggle with overwhelm. What did you mean by that? Sorry, just so I'm clear.
I think I overthink them. I think that I struggle once I start thinking through the titles to keep clarity even for myself as to what's going to be interesting to the mom, what's going to make her curious enough to click on it, what's going to describe enough but without giving it away. I think I end up overthinking it, to be honest, and I don't know how to fix that.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah. It's funny you mentioned that. Me and Tiger literally today recorded an episode all about writing attractive titles and how the framework you can use. So I guess from your end, what's your current process that you're using to think of titles? How are you thinking this through? And then we can walk you through a framework to help you make this tons easier.
So nothing I do seems to come out simply. So I first will come up with my idea. I will record my episode. I'll take the script. I pop it into one of the AIs to just make sure that it is as clear as I am on what the main problem is that I'm solving, because I usually go into it with a problem I'm trying to solve, but I want to make sure it came out clearly. And then from there, I will ask it to help come up with some different title variations, and then I will tell it what I've already come up with myself. And it typically ruins everything that I thought of myself. It's terrible at generating titles, in my opinion, but oftentimes it will come up with little things that I can pull from that to help make the title seem a bit better to me. And then I'll run it through some of those analyzers to see if the title is something that is appealing according to the analyzers. And then I decide from there. So it's probably too long of a process, far too complex, I'm sure. I really would like to come up with simple titles. I had one that went, did really well. It was like, calm your home, calm your mind to enjoy motherhood again. And it got a lot of listens. People really clicked on that and listened through. But even when I do things like five simple tips for finding purpose in motherhood as a Christian homeschool mom, to me, that just feels generic. What tips? What are they about? But if I make it too wordy, then it's too long.
Well, you made some great points there. I think in terms of using AI for titles, I agree. It's just simply not good enough to use, to rely on for titles. It's always better the host doing it in this current day. Anyway, that might change in future. But at the same time, it's good for getting inspiration. So I think the way you use it sounds like it complements your process rather than detracting. But for you, what makes a title appealing?
When I'm listening to other podcasts, I really do want to know that it's going to specifically solve a single problem that I'm having. And I'm working at even making my content a little more narrow, because sometimes in the beginning stages, I really was making it too broad and that was causing me problems with titles. Now I'm trying to make it very specific and that's helping, but I don't know. It's I want something very specific when I listen to other people's podcasts. I want to offer that. I haven't probably decoded even really what makes me click on people's titles enough to honestly replicate it. I think okay. I'm just too busy to analyze it, which is a problem, but that's a personal life problem.
You mentioned overwhelm, right? So it goes with the theme. As Anthony said before, this probably couldn't be a better day for us to have this chat, because me and Anthony we actually did two episodes earlier on titles. And so what we found from working on tons and tons of titles, tons of different niches, is that good titles really fit into three categories in terms of the intent and focus of the title. So the first one is the one that you're mainly talking about. It's just super specific, right? Looking at one of your more recent titles, When Homeschooling Feels Overwhelming, Tips for Emotional Well-being in Special Needs Families. We might just look to make that as specific as possible. So we might look to use numbers to quantify things, or we might talk about what aspect of homeschooling is overwhelming. And we might look to expand on what emotional well-being means. And we can go through some examples, but the point is we're just looking to leave nothing to the imagination, quantify things where possible, and make things as specific as possible. And that's what makes the title good, like you say. But then we also have a different approach where it's like, we're not trying to be, specificity is always good, but we can try and be intriguing. So you might then say, instead of five tips for emotional well-being and special needs families, it might be something like five weird ways that I achieved calm in my home this week. And then it's obviously still specific because we're using numbers and that kind of thing. But the main intent, what we're trying to do with the title is make people think, oh, that's new. Or, oh, okay, maybe she knows something I don't. That's what we're trying to get the reader to feel when they read it. And then the third is controversial and confrontational. So this is where this works best when, because you mentioned about solving a specific problem. This works best when it's a problem that your audience are acutely aware of and it's something that is causing them pain. And we basically confront it. For example, you've got When Homeschooling Feels Overwhelming. If we want to make that really confrontational, you might just say, why you're failing at homeschooling. And that's like, for someone that feels like they're struggling with it, that's like a slap in the face, right? Mm-hmm. So these are the different tools in our toolbox, if you like, to attract people. Out of those, do you feel like all of them are potentially relevant to your audience? Or do you feel like, because I know you said specific is what comes to mind. Mm-hmm. Do you think those ideas give you new perspectives? Or do you think specific is the best and it's just best to go all in on that?
No, I like all three. And I think keeping it mixed up would be good, because then it will catch the different types of people who like to click on different types of title forms.
Yeah, and what I think is good is you're actually pretty good at doing specific titles and you're very aware of what makes it specific, which is a really great start. What might be a good practice is just thinking with each title, if I was to make this as intriguing as possible, how would I do it? If I was to make this as basically, if I was to try and rile people up with this title in the best way, because obviously we're going to get them to listen and actually get something good, right? How would I do that? And if I just wanted to leave nothing to the imagination, is this as specific as possible or could this be still misinterpreted? I know I'm talking a lot here. Maybe let's go through some of your titles. Let's do a couple of examples, right? And especially for people listening as well to really hear this. So we've got Sick Kids, How to Homeschool and Thrive Anyway. So Sick Kids is like the question and then How to Homeschool and Thrive Anyway. So if we want to make that more specific, what comes to mind?
I don't want to be gross. People are like How to Homeschool even when you can't stop blowing your nose. You know, there's a lot of times when the parents are exhausted. The kids are just, it's all they can do to just keep their kids' faces clean. They don't want to sit and read to the kid, or they feel like their throat is sore, or I don't know. I really struggle with it. I personally struggle with getting more specific, which I think is why these titles reflect that. What would you say? What would you do?
Yeah, I think that's fair. So Sick Kids, that instantly tells me, especially on a podcast about homeschooling, okay, the kids are ill, right? So I would actually work on being more specific on how to homeschool and thrive anyway. Because what does thrive anyway even mean in this scenario?
It would mean that they still make progress. They don't feel like they're failing. They don't feel like they just got behind in all their curriculum or preparation for when they have that end of year homeschool review. A lot of moms will tell me, we didn't get anything done for 2 full weeks. Now we are so behind. My husband's criticizing me. My in-laws think I'm a failure and they're telling me. There's all kinds of things that go on. And it's but you guys were sick. So what do you think? But there are a lot of ways to work around that. There are so many ways to work around that, where you can still learn and make great progress educationally with the kids. And the kids don't even know that they were learning. Yeah, thriving would be being successful, succeeding, making progress. It would be continuing to learn, I guess.
You just gave me about at least 10 episode titles ideas in there that are all a big upgrades to what we got, right? You have how to not fall behind, how to stay ahead of the curriculum, how to, my mind's going blank now, but you said so many things in that I was picking out and thinking that could be great, right? Something else you said, there's most people think, I'm just sick, but there's a workaround, right? That's quite intriguing. That could be an intriguing one, right? If you were to work that into an intriguing title, how would you say that in one line to point to the notion we want to intrigue people that, okay, most people think when the kids are sick, it's a write-off, but actually there's workarounds. Tell me that in title form.
Okay. Well, then you got to work in the SEO keywords. It's hard. I guess homeschool would be the thing.
Don't worry about keywords for now. It's definitely important as well, but for the sake of the example, let's not overcomplicate it.
Okay. If I was going to use this example, sick kids, I would ask that and then say, learn and make progress regardless, or be successful and love learning even while sick. I don't know. Those don't sound intriguing. I'm going to overthink it again.
Okay. We're making some progress. How can you think of, when you said there's workarounds for you, are there specific things that you've learned? And what those specific things are is not important in this conversation, but can you think of certain tactics or maybe like little tricks, like that? Do things like that come to mind?
4 ways to learn anyway, even when you're sick or something like that, because there are lots of great ways that they could continue to learn. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, we're getting warmer. And so with these ways, are they, and they might all be different, are these obvious things? Are these easy things? Are these, how would you describe them in a way that really shows the benefit?
I feel like I am always tempted to use the word simple too often. And I don't want to always just be like 4 simple tips, 4 simple hacks, 4 simple whatever solutions. But usually that is what I'm trying to offer, are simple things, because we want to reduce the overwhelm. They're hands off. Most of the ideas are relatively hands off.
Okay. Hands off.
Hands off. Work around.
What are some other ways that we can say simple, something that's simple and easy? Like, I think about Tug mentioned toolbox. Quick fixes.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
Yep, workarounds, quick fixes. Okay, I see where you're going. I guess I need a thesaurus.
Or a ChatGPT.
We're to talk to you guys more. Yeah.
But yeah, so again, you get the gist. We can say the same thing, just word in a different way that feels far more appealing. We can say four simple ways or four quick fixes. I would say four quick fixes feels more appealing than simple ways for some reason. It feels more exciting. Like, it's almost like saying four hacks, but not saying four hacks.
Yeah, I think hacks and simple are overused, at least.
Yeah.
I feel like I see them everywhere. Okay. Yeah, I really like that. That's helpful. Thank you.
So there you've got it. So four quick fixes, and if you wanted a different one, then even four surprise workarounds, all of these things. And by the way, let's not get it twisted. Simple and hacks, they work. They're great. So definitely use them. But I think it's also good to think of what you're describing, these four things. You can normally find a more specific way of describing them than just saying they're simple, right? Because normally they're good because they're quick, or they're good because you wouldn't expect it, or something like that. Okay, so we've got four quick fixes. Two, you said success, you said to still get ahead, you said to not fall behind. What comes to mind?
I think to not fall behind would probably be the one that most moms would be concerned about. They don't want to fall behind when the kids are sick.
Okay. So we've gone from how to homeschool and thrive anyway to four quick fixes to not fall behind. And you know what? We'll throw in the homeschooling as well. We'll go four quick fixes to not fall behind when homeschooling.
Still feel like something's missing.
It does.
And how do I not make it too long? Because I keep reading, oh, no more than 7 to 10 words.
Don't worry about the word count for now. Let's just focus on the titles. Imagine you're crafting like a sculpture. What we want right now is just all the different components, and then eventually want to just strip it down to the essence. So don't worry about it for now. It's going to be a bit messy, but just get it all out, because you don't want to constrain yourself right now. Mm. Only once you have the idea that's out and you see it, then you have to then think about all these different ways of being a bit more specific or adding a bit more intrigue or cutting words down. But right now, we're just simply getting the idea of what we want. It's almost like what we want to convey in the title, and then we can strip it down to exactly what it is. So we have four quick fixes to not fall behind when homeschooling.
We still need to bring in that the family is sick, and it could be the
So is it the parents that are sick, or is it the kids that are sick?
Well, a lot of the time with homeschooling, everyone gets sick at the same time.
Okay.
Just because everyone's together a lot. But it could be either or, because whether it's mom who doesn't have the energy to really host what she would normally be hosting with the kids, or kids who just want to sit around and lay on the couch and watch TV all day because they don't feel good. Mm. Either way, there are great ways around that to still make progress.
Okay. Four quick fixes to not fall behind. Okay. Four quick fixes to not fall behind when the family gets sick during homeschooling.
Oh, I like that.
Okay. So before, we had sick kids, how to homeschool and thrive anyway. And after, we have
four quick fixes, not to fall. Were you hoping that chaos?
No, I thought you were going to do it.
Okay. All good.
See, I've written down.
Perfect. Four quick fixes, not to fall behind when the family gets sick during homeschooling.
Yeah, that's a lot better. I like that a lot more. I would click on that one before I'd click on the one I have.
But look, we worked through that together, right? So I guess the stages of that is, number one, just ask yourself, okay, how can I make this more intriguing? How can I make this more specific? Instead of saying ways, how many ways? Okay, there's four ways. Okay, are they fast, easy, simple, quick fixes, workarounds?
Surprising.
What's unique about these ways? And then we add a bit more specificity to fall behind when homeschooling. Okay, well, who's fallen behind? What's happened to them? Why are they falling behind? And when you put all those pieces together, you can create a new title from your old ones. And honestly, I think that could be just an easy framework for you to use, which is basically, okay, cool. I've got this title here. What are the missing pieces? How can I make it more intriguing? How can I make it more specific? How can I piece these in together so it sounds, when someone reads it, they're like, wow, okay, I like this. This is a good title. Let me click on it. And if you can do this and apply this consistently, you just start seeing that you're turning more strangers into listeners. When you promote on social media, that's going to be far more effective because the title is doing most of the legwork for you. when you're deciding to talk about in your newsletter is going to be, again, far more intriguing. And more importantly, if you're optimizing your show for SEO, there's no point ranking for the right keywords for someone to see your podcast and then not click and listen to it because the episode titles aren't attractive.
Agreed.
That does so much of the legwork for you. So hopefully that gives you some idea in terms of how to create more attractive titles. Now, in terms of practical steps that I would take with the actual podcast moving forward, would be number one, revisit old episodes. And a great way to decide which ones to change and which ones not to change is if you look at the time frames, if you look at the last 30 days and look at the oldest episodes and ask yourself, okay, on average, let's say you put out episodes 60 days ago, or let's say in December, and you look at your analytics and realize that in the last 30 days, they're still getting downloads. It might be 4, it might be 5. And then let's say you had one that had 10. Okay, that one's an anomaly. That's got 10. That means it's a good title. Let's leave that alone. Anyone that falls below, let's say 5, the average. So let's say the average is 5 and there's one that's like with 1 download or 2 downloads. Those are the ones to focus on to change the titles. Because we know they're the ones people are going back and deciding actively not to listen to those episodes. So those are the ones we have to make more attractive. Everything else, we keep the exact same. And again, just to break that down, you go through your old episodes, you look and see which of these episodes are still getting downloaded, even 90 days after I uploaded it. Because again, that's well beyond the interval that most people click and listen. And the ones that have the lowest downloads, that's what you want to fix up in terms of the title. Make them more attractive, make them more specific, make them more intriguing. And then watch the numbers start to bump up again, right? I think that's going to be a great step for you moving forward. And then I guess that's fixing the title issue. In terms of moving forward, Kate, I think it's going to be important that we rebrand this and reposition the podcast to be a bit, still super specific, but a bit broader, like we mentioned. Right. So instead of it being her mum and heart, reducing overwhelm for Christian for Christian homeschool mums of special needs and neurodiverse kids, we remove the of special needs and neurodiverse kids. So just reducing overwhelm for Christian mums, reducing overwhelm for homeschool mums. Reducing overwhelm for Christian homeschool mums. We have it just as that, and that will help you, again, be a bit more appealing to a wider audience in this specific scenario. And then from there, I'll just say, with the optimized titles and then with the new show and the new positioning, just get exposure to the podcast. Yeah, promoting is great, but I would say just keep guessing on more shows that now fit this new positioning, that now fit the homeschooling, that now fits with the overwhelmed mums, that now fits in with Christian mums, right? Parenting, we can now be a lot more open with less constraints on which types of shows you can guest on. So I'd say just go crazy. Try to aim for, I know again, you've got different things going on, so I'm not going to go mental, but I say a good aim is, hey, let's try to guest on 2 to 3 podcasts a month. Let's see how that works. Let's start with that and see what I can do. And I think that way, when you go on these shows and you guest and you share about your podcast, you're sending people to a show that's exactly for them and with episodes that are super captivating. That's how you turn their strangers into actual listeners of your podcast and you keep them in long term.
Okay. That's great. That's a great tip. Thank you. Appreciate that. And I love guesting on podcasts. 2 to 3 would be really fun.
Perfect. Look, we don't want to overwhelm you. I want to give you just clear steps you can take. And I think there's 3 clear steps you can take moving forward. And I guess from your end, do you have any quick fire questions you have for us too?
I guess that when, as long as I'm continuing in my titles to indicate which episodes are for special needs moms, then will that still come up? That won't, because I'm taking it out of my tagline, which I really believe I need to do, that won't actually make it so that those moms can't find me anymore, right?
Correct. Because you have such a backlog of episodes and it's focused on that and you have that in the past titles, then you should still show up for that. Okay. And you've got those people listening. What I would say though is that the tricky thing is you don't want to be half in, half out with a niche or a keyword. Because if you don't have neurodiverse or special needs in the subtitle, but you have it in the episode titles, then that's just actually, it's going to bring people who are homeschooling and Christians, and then they're going to think, oh, but this isn't relevant to me when they see the titles. So it's like, I would actually be more inclined to not go special needs in the titles, but just know that the special needs people who find you will extra resonate with you because they're like, wow, not only is she talking about overwhelm, which is what I came for, she's also been in my shoes in terms of special needs.
Okay.
What you can do, that probably the best fine balance, is actually to have it in the show notes and the show description. And that way you'll also still have some ranking for it. But yeah, I'd be wary of having them in the episode titles, because then it's like kind of no one wins in a way.
Okay, that makes sense. Because in the past, when I've tried to move away from this, I actually just started labeling some of the titles. I actually went back and I would just put special needs spotlight, so that each episode that did actually address that specific group of people, they could find easily. And then I stopped doing that because I was like, oh, well, I don't know. Is that necessary? So just leave it out of the titles, keep it in the description, and that should do it. That should be good enough.
Yeah, that's the best meet in the middle in terms of ranking for these things and being discoverable by those people, but not advertising the show as that, so you can still attract a broader audience.
That's great. And then in each title, how many keywords? Like, I like to go for motherhood. I like to go for homeschool. I like to go for overwhelm. Just one keyword per title, or should I be trying to work them all in while I'm trying to do all the other thinking through titles?
What I would say on that is, firstly, I think your understanding of podcast SEO is great. I love that you have your keywords carved out. Secondly, so you mentioned, so there's about 1 to 3 keywords that you're trying to rank for there, right?
I've whittled it down to that many, especially if I'm not trying to also add special needs or nerd versions.
Yeah, that definitely makes the job easier. Yes. And again, what you can do is you can have the neurodiverse just in a sentence in the show notes. But as for the homeschooling and the Christian moms and even the overwhelm, yeah, I would try and get them in every episode title. They don't all have to be in, don't have to have all three in every title, but just try and get at least 1 or 2 of them in every title and just alternate. So that in any given title, you have some of those words. And again, that's the best way to really rank as much as possible, but without just pigeonholing all three in, when sometimes maybe only 2 will naturally fit in. That makes sense.
That sounds good. Yeah, that sounds good. Because I've really wrestled with that in the past and felt like I was making titles too long and then they would get too generic. And I don't want to just put keywords here for not knowing really what I'm doing, just so that we can have the keyword here. I really want this to serve my audience more than to serve SEO, but I would like a balance. Right. So that makes sense. 1 to 2. I'll aim for that. And I do try to rotate, but I will be even more aware.
Yeah, for sure. The intention is we want to have as many keywords as possible before it starts to affect how captivating the title is. And generally the threshold for that is 1 to 2, right? You might sometimes be able to naturally fit all 3 in, but if not, then don't force it. So yeah, you're completely right.
Okay, that sounds good. And then I mentioned, I think before we started to record, that I'm not doing as many guest episodes. I'm like to guest on people's shows. Mainly now the people I invite to my show either are people I'm making a swap with or people that I've had before who I really believe offer value to my audience. But is that a terrible idea? Should I really still be accepting people who come from agents and trying to have, I really just want to limit myself to 1 to 2 episodes a week. So having guest episodes, they take a lot more time to edit and navigate that whole thing for me has been hard. But am I doing a disservice to my show by not having a lot of guests?
So your question is, should I have more guests or should I put out more episodes?
Should I have more guests, therefore forcing me to put out more episodes?
Well, more episodes is generally good, but of course you want to keep it with what you can really manage to do, right? It sounds as if you dropped your episodes intentionally because it was too much. So I wouldn't force yourself to up it just because guests are asking. More people are trying to get guests on podcasts. It's going crazy, right? So if you base the amount of episodes you put out on who's asking, then the podcast will make you a slave in the end. So yeah, I would take that as a good opportunity to be very selective with who you have on and really just curate it to just the most suitable guests. And solo episodes are great. You could just have a solo show and I think you would still have just as much growth potential. So I think just see this as you've basically got the choice. Some people don't have any guests because they don't have any guests to have on. You actually have the choice and you can just have it's a win-win for you. You can just choose the best guests when you feel like it.
Okay. I've never, ever charged a guest to come on my show, but I've had other podcasters say that's something that they do. And I'm really not sure about it. Do you guys ever suggest when agents are sending you guests who already are big people in their field, do you ever do it in a sponsorship type of format where you say, well, we'll have a guest from an agent come, but it costs this much because technically we're advertising you? Have you ever done that?
We have personally never done that. Our clients don't necessarily practice that. I do know other podcasters do that. And I don't think there's anything necessarily wrong with it. I think you can set your terms And someone's either going to agree or they're going to disagree. If they agree, great. If they don't agree, who cares? I personally don't mind paying to be on someone else's show if it makes sense. But again, if it makes sense, I've had a guy that like tried to charge me like $400 and his podcast got, I think, 300 downloads after 90 days. And I was like, bro, I'm not going to, that doesn't, that doesn't make any sense.
No. Okay.
Where are you getting these numbers from? So as long as you feel like it's something that's fair and makes sense, put it out there. And then they're either going to say yes or no. And that's what I would do. So as you set your terms, I'm not really, some people get a bit touchy about it. I just think they're going to say yes or no. It doesn't really matter.
Yeah, exactly. It comes back to it's you're in a great position because you have the selection, right? You can afford to just charge the people that, you know, you don't feel too strongly about and just have on the people that you really want to have on.
Okay, that's good. That kind of confirms where I was thinking I could go because I have so many agents who reach out all the time. And sometimes I know they haven't even seen that I rebranded my show a year and a half or two years ago. But other times they're like really good fits, but I really prefer to bring in the people that are close to my heart, that I really already trust, have a relationship with, or I'm doing a podcast swap list. And so thank you. That really helps. I appreciate it.
Amazing. And final question, what would you like to say to the podcast listeners right now, who might be a bit worried to come on the Rosa Show episode? What's your last message to them?
Oh my goodness. Anybody who wants really authentic and genuine, excellent feedback should come on here. I mean, Anthony, I've known you for a couple of years now, and you always serve at the highest level. And Tag, it's been so nice to meet you. And you have reflected the exact same thing. So if somebody wants to really have good feedback and interact with you guys before deciding if they were going to jump into fully going into your programs, this is a great opportunity. You guys are really serving and sharing and giving. So I appreciate it very much.
Well, you heard it there. So with that said, we'll catch you guys in the next episode.